Hello everyone, and welcome to Let the Mask Fall podcast. Let La Maske Falle podcast in Norwegian. My name is Mai Camilla Moncure, and the guest on today's show, that is you, Melissa Sparrow from Canada. Welcome.
Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you so much for coming. I've been looking so much forward to this. You are an energy healer and a spiritual healer who offers a number of services, including medical healing, house clearing, chakra alignment, Akashic Records readings, and sacred healing ceremonies, just to mention a few things. And if, in case we have an international audience today, I'd like to say that I'm from Norway, and normally the guests in this show, they are Norwegian, but I really wanted to have you, Melissa, on the show in order to bring you forward and your wonderful services to a wider audience, because I've had so much, I so much appreciated being one of your clients, and we're going to come back to that. But I've had both an Akashic Records reading that was so amazing and so revealing for me, and also a sacred healing ceremony and heart healing, which was also profound. So, Melissa, I know that you've been a guest in a number of podcasts already, and you've shared your story a number of times. But for those listeners who don't know you, could you please start by sharing a little bit of your background and your story and this spiritual awakening that you are going through, when it all started? And then we'll come back and talk more in depth about light language and energy healing and Akashic readings, like what it is and how you do it. Yes.
Absolutely. I'd be happy to. So I would begin just before COVID, so 2019, and I found myself in a place in my life where I wasn't happy with the work that I was doing. I was at a job that I didn't feel was fulfilling me. And I began, once, you know, we went into our cocoon of COVID, to, like many of us, begin to be very introspective and to heal and do the work as far as the traumas that I needed to still work through, healing my heart from a past marriage. And then, of course, I began to find, as I was doing that, that I was opening to my spiritual gifts and awakening them. Mm-hmm. I will say I was always spirit sensitive. As a child, I would be called empathic, in that I was called overly sensitive. I would feel people's energy. I grew up, you know, always wanting to make others feel better. That was innately within me. And so once I began to explore and create this space and time for myself, I would go to the forest and I would walk within the trees, and I would, you know, connect with the animals within the forest, the deer and all of the birds. And I began to feel the energy coming from the trees. And it was like I was like electrified and buzzing, and it was to the point where sometimes it was uncomfortable, and I was awed by it. I thought, what is this? Where is it coming from? And, you know, I now know that that was an awakening of sorts for me. That was my vessel opening, and the trees were actually activating me. That was source, God, whatever you pray to, you know, connecting with me again. And I began to become more curious about this energy. And I began to think, well, if I can receive it, can I also use it to heal? And so at that time, I began to play with energy. I, you know, became very, very fond of holding crystals in my hand and seeing if I could tell the difference between their energy. I would go into psychometry, which is holding old objects in my hand and feel the energy and try and connect to it. And then that led me down to actually trying to use the energy to heal. My mom was, moving through a terminal illness at that time. Mm-hmm. And so she really was amazing because, you know, she'd be all, you know, open for me to practice healing her. And, you know, lo and behold, I was just as shocked when we would, you know, I'd put my hands on her and, you know, she'd have swelling or whatever that might be, or bruising or pain. And it was gone. And so that was the moment where I was like, oh, okay, I have the ability to heal. And so from there, I just became more curious about my intuition, reconnecting to that mediumship psychic ability that I have, that we all have, by the way. But I began to dive deep into, you know, courses. So I took some, you know, intuitive development courses, some mediumship courses, and of course, the Akashic Record Reading course, which fully awakened everything for me and made me realize that this isn't the first lifetime that I've done this work. And it was actually not really learning, it was remembering. Right. And it began just to download, and I just began to understand that this was my calling and this is what I was meant to do. And from there, I began to offer my services. And, you know, that was rather scary because that's a moment where you have to surrender and let go of all that fear and doubt and, you know, imposter syndrome. And just, I put it up to God and the universe and said, if I'm meant to do this work, then send me the people that are needing my healing, needing my intuitive abilities. And they did. And so here I am 4 years later. I'm blessed and grateful to be doing this work, to be helping people every day reconnect with their higher selves, with their soul, and giving them the ability to heal and move forward and have the best life possible for themselves. Yeah.
Wonderful. Thank you so much for sharing. It's so interesting to listen to you. And it's so amazing also how fast I think this journey has been from, you know, in the beginning of COVID till today, and the huge transformations that you've been through yourself in your personal life, and how much it's possible to learn or remember, as you say, in such a short time, and just starting to opening up your channel upwards and downwards, and like remembering abilities that you had in previous lifetimes, and even knowing then that you had previous lifetimes. Because before COVID, even if you were sensitive, did you know, like, did you have this knowing that you had previous lifetimes before? And did you already believe in reincarnation, or was even that a new world view for you after your awakening?
That's a great question. I did believe in reincarnation. There's always a part of me that understood that this wasn't the first time I was here on Earth. But I didn't realize to what degree, you know, until I began to explore the Akash and the ability that we have to learn about all of our many lifetimes. And it was fascinating to me. You know, I was always spirit sensitive in that I would, at a very young age, you know, would connect with, I believe they were actually, you know, light beings or of another planet. I called them my imaginary friend. But knowing that now in retrospect, I'm sure I was connecting with beings on another star system. And then, of course, every house I lived in was haunted, in my opinion. But then now I realize, no, that was just me being sensitive, having that lighthouse on, and they understood that I could feel and see them. And so, you know, it's so funny in that when you look back on your life, when you're kind of, you know, in that, I always call it the dimmed state of not being awake, it's really interesting to see what you actually missed. You were asleep, right? And it's not really until we become awakened and more aware of our spiritual abilities and our you know, spiritual beings, our higher selves, that we get to see that indeed, you know, we all are intuitive beings. We, each and every one of us, are born with that beautiful sixth sense of intuition and the ability to channel and to be guided by source, by our guides, by our angels. It's just that society, unfortunately, begins to shut it down for ourselves. And we lose that aspect of ourself.
Yes. And we're going to come back a little bit to that, but I'm very curious about the very first Akashic record reading that you had. Do you remember it? Very often it's quite like a big experience. So perhaps you remember it quite clearly. Could you please share what did you learn during that very first Akashic reading? And then I guess that you went to someone else who gave it to you, right?
Right.
So, so how was that?
It was amazing. I remember, you know, leaving that reading and, you know, I was told of, you know, my healing lifetimes, the lifetimes where I've been psychic, where I have been a medicine man, a shaman, you know, a deep, deep sacred healer. I was also a bone dancer where I would cross spirits over. And it blew my mind to think that, oh, you know, there's more to me. And it really empowered me. And at the same time, just being in that beautiful frequency of the Akash, when you sit in on a meeting, you're in that beautiful energy in that space. And that in itself is healing and raises your frequency. And so when I left, I looked at my hands. I looked at everyone with that divine love of my soul. Really, I think I saw myself for the very first time in that beautiful, divine way. And it impacted me greatly. And then I thought, well, I want to do this. I want to be able to have people feel that way. Right. So that's really what led me to, you know, explore the Akash, explore the Akashic record readings and see if I could perhaps offer that to others.
And soon after you did. So would you please perhaps tell us about that? Like, how was it for you? I know that you went to a course in order to learn it, but during that course, you already actually remembered how to do Akashic readings. And how was it for you then to start, like, giving Akashic readings for others? Perhaps you can tell the audience how you do it.
Well, you know, at first you would think I would have been nervous, but I wasn't. I was just always excited, always excited to open up the records. And so how it works is essentially I will open up someone's book of records. And for those listeners that are not familiar with the Akashic realm or the library itself, it is in a very high dimension and frequency. I always say closest to God, source, whatever it is you pray to. And within that realm, that space, is our soul's blueprint. So anything energetically connected to our soul from the time of its conception. So think thoughts, events, emotions, past, present, and future lifetimes, right? And I get to speak with your spirit team, so your spirit council. Which is made up of your spirit guides, your deceased loved ones, and angels, ascended masters, right? And teachers. And I go into that beautiful realm with your permission. You give me your full legal name. And that is how I gain access. Because in giving me your name, that is essentially you giving me access to your book of records. So through frequency and prayer, I go into the realm itself. I access your book of records. I see it as this beautiful library. It's golden books, like as far as the eye can see. And there's these old wooden tables and chairs of which I see you as your higher self sitting at it with your guides. And I then begin to see, I work with Mount Everest when I open your records. And so I will see this beautiful mountain, and then I'm shown by your guides you climbing it as I'm opening. And I will be shown images of you. It could be perhaps what you're moving through now, I will get a sense of what you're, you know, the heaviness perhaps that you're carrying, some of the issues you're moving through. They will show me your soul's essence, what it's meant to become. Mm. And I will also be shown past lives. This is how we open. And generally then I will begin to unpack that for you because the lifetimes that they will show in opening are very, very significant to this lifetime you're living. And oftentimes it reveals itself to you in a very, very powerful way for you have to have a better understanding of why the things happen to you in this lifetime, good and bad, because all of them are lessons that your soul wanted to experience here.
Yeah, thank you so much for explaining that. And if you want to, Melissa, I don't know if you remember the Akashic reading that you did for me in October, because it's quite a lot of months since then, and I know that you've done lots of Akashic readings since, but I would like to share some of what I remember from that Akashic reading, because that was also my very first Akashic reading and very, very powerful as well. Because it's a couple of things that I'd like to mention, because first of all, I remember that you told me that, or everyone, that we're supposed to write down some questions, but when you open up the records, I'm not supposed to tell you the questions, but you told me that if your guides haven't answered the questions when we approach the end of the session, then you can ask a question. And then I noticed that in the end, every question except one had been answered. And we can come back to which question had not, but every else question had been answered. And that was very powerful, right?
Yeah.
Like, the guide just knowing, and perhaps you can explain to the audience, how come that the guides know exactly the questions that I've noted, dotted down on my paper, you know? How do they know? Yeah.
Well, and isn't that amazing validation in itself?
Yes, it is.
That they know you, and they know that you were coming, right? And they know why you're here. And they also know what you need to hear. So a lot of times people will come with these questions, but instead the guides will tell them something entirely different because that's what they're needing to hear. It, you know, there's a lot of, it's all said with unconditional love, and they know your soul better than you know yourself. They know what it needs to hear. They know the path you're on. They know where you're meant to go. The timelines that you're meant to align with. And they, you know, it's kind of like they, you don't even have to speak or ask because they already know. And that in itself is, there's something so beautiful about having that kind of love and support. It's unconditional. And it's something that we don't necessarily get to experience here on earth, is that beautiful, divine, unconditional love. Support, free of judgment and criticism. It is just, you know, even our mistakes in their eyes are lessons. So it's beautiful. And it's also helpful because our client, you know, the client can just sit and relax. They don't have to worry about, oh my gosh, am I going to miss this question? And they can just let it be present. And like you said, I always at the end will say, okay, so what haven't they answered for you, right?
Yeah. And in my case as well, of course, they answered a lot of things that I didn't know that I needed to hear. And for instance, I can add that when you said that, yes, and very often the loved ones will come and have a message for you, then I thought that, well, I don't have any loved ones because I didn't feel loved even by my grandparents when I was a child. So I didn't expect anyone to come. And I knew that, you know, my grandfathers, they had already passed away, and my grandmothers, they were old and they had enough, you know, with other things. So I just kind of, as a human being, I expected no one to come, right? And then I was so surprised and amazed by both my grandmothers turning up and both of them having very, very important messages for me. And I'd like to share them as well, because I write my trauma biography at the moment. And one of the themes in the book is about growing up with a mother that is physically present, but not emotionally present. So it's this kind of motherhood, you know, what would you say? Not insensitive, but like not being able to really grasp what is going on.
Right. Yeah.
Emotionally distant, perhaps, is the way. So then my grandmother, she came And she said something like, my mother's mother, she came and she said something like, I never knew your mother, just like your mother never knew you. And I'm so sorry for that. Something like that.
Right.
Right. Yeah. And that kind of validated my experience that I had felt that, well, my mother really didn't really see me. And then I just like to say one other thing as well then, because my mother is still alive and she doesn't appreciate me using my voice and speaking up and telling my story. And then you said that now your mother's higher self is coming and she has a message for you. And then she said, I reject what you write now, my Camilla, because if I didn't reject it, you wouldn't continue writing. And you're here to write.
Yeah.
So I just wanted to say that because that also made me have even more compassion with my mother. That is, in my opinion, as a human being, a bit harsh to me, right? Still. Mm-hmm. but like accepting that it is as it is supposed to be. And I'm still, you know, yeah, on the journey of coming back to myself, even though I'm not supported or validated by family members. I just wanted to share that. Mm-hmm.
I love that. That is beautiful. And, you know, as you were talking, I was getting that it also was exposing your soul contract with your mom. Mm-hmm. And that, you know, we as souls, before we incarnate into a lifetime, we begin to write our story. Mm-hmm. We sit down with our counsel and we review, okay, what lessons do we need to learn? What do we want to experience in this lifetime? Mm-hmm. And once we have an understanding of that, we begin to get volunteers from our soul group of our supporting actors and characters. Mm-hmm. And so your mom was really and is really fulfilling her contract and signing up to be the way she was with you so that you would find your worth, so that you would find your voice. And in fact, they're saying that she was the one that lit the fire because of the way she treated you. Had she been something else, you wouldn't have had that determination and drive of like, I'm going to show you, right? And so from that was a beautiful, beautiful part of you, that beautiful, you know, writer in you was born and she's meant to be heard. Yeah.
Thank you so much. And we could perhaps go forward to energy healing or perhaps also add one little last detail that was so amazing for me. And that is, I could also mention, because I speak openly about these things, that when I was 9 and 10, I was sexually abused by a couple of teenagers. And I had tried to find them, and one of them, I couldn't find him. And I just assumed that perhaps he had died, but I didn't really know. And I hadn't done research on it. And then during the reading, this energy comes up, and you say that, so there is this young man who wants to talk to you. And when you described him, I understood that it was him, like one of those teenagers that had abused me. And that was such a powerful moment when he said that. It wasn't even about the sex. It wasn't really about the sex. Like, it was this feeling of being able to dominate someone else.
Right.
And then he added something, because after those, it was several incidents, you know, several instances of abuse. But the worst thing for me, perhaps, as a child, was the day when they beat me up and threw me into the sea. And then he said, you know, I had these thoughts in my mind, but then he said, through you, and the worst moment that I've had to review again and again and again to really take into me, you know, the pain that you felt, is when we threw you into the sea as if you were a piece of trash.
Yeah.
And that sentence, as if you were a piece of trash, that was like, made me tremble, and I really, really felt that. So it really happened, and that's how it was for me.
Yeah.
That's how bad it was.
He's here right now because I'm getting full body tingles right now. Yeah. And he wants to say to you that it was even more than just reviewing, like, he became you and felt it all. And so he understood how you felt, like a piece of trash. And, you know, first of all, I'm so sorry that you experienced something like that. But he is very, very proud of the way that you're moving through this, the way that you're understanding the whys. Because I think when we suffer trauma in the way that you did, you feel like there's it's something you did. That there's maybe something that
I did wrong, yes.
Right? That you did wrong. And he wants you to understand that it had nothing to do with you. It was everything to do with them and the way that they were feeling. And you were just in the wrong place at the wrong time.
And also perhaps because when we talked in the Akashic reading in October, he also said that he signed up for it. So he signed up for it. So I might have, So I don't know. Perhaps it was also supposed to happen because I think that that was a really, really meaningful incident in my childhood. Because what happened is that I went home and I didn't tell anything because I didn't have anyone to talk to. And I put all my clothes in the washing machine in order to hide all, you know, what you would say, to hide
the evidence.
The evidence that something had happened. And then when my mother came home from work that late that afternoon, she just said, "Oh, what a wonderful thing you put on the washing machine for the first time. That's wonderful." And I was sitting there trembling and hoping that perhaps, do you see me now? Can you see what has happened? What has happened? I thought that I would, you know, I thought that I was about to die, to drown today.
Right. Yeah.
But she didn't notice.
Yeah.
And that is a really important thing that she didn't notice. Because
she wasn't aware enough to notice. She wasn't connected enough to notice. And so as you're talking, I'm getting absolutely yes and yes. You know, your soul wanted to experience this. These boys also learned a lesson from their experiencing it, right? I feel like it's a lot of past life karma with them, they're saying, as far as why this occurred. But you, as the victim, your soul wanted to experience this in a way of silencing you so that you could find your voice again.
Yes, because what happened is that I kind of reinvented what had happened inside of me because I didn't tell anyone and nobody ever knew until 33 years later. you know, so very long time later. Very long time. And I just told myself that I had these two boyfriends. Like I pretended I had boyfriends.
Right.
And this violence incident, I just pretended it hadn't happened. And I just stayed away from the sea because I was afraid of water. Like I did a lot of things to try to forget it. But that violence and being thrown into the sea, I couldn't really reinvent it, but I just never talked about it. But the abuse thing, I reinvented it as early boyfriends, like two boyfriends twice my age.
Right. And our minds do that to protect ourselves, right? We begin to tell ourselves the stories that are that makes us feel better, that makes us able to cope with it in our world, right? And so it's very interesting, however, though, that, you know, the water would trigger you because that's essentially what you were staying away from is the trigger because water would then trigger the memory.
So right? I just didn't like to bath. I didn't like to swim. I didn't like it. That's what I pretended. But I think this is, I don't know what you think. Perhaps you want to like say a few things more about this and then we go over to the energy healing. But I thought it was good to like talk so specifically about what kind of information we can get because it's so deeply healing. And that really did a lot for me because I had this healing ceremony with you before. And it, although it helped, I remember you said something about you had hardly seen so high walls, you know, around a heart because I really had protected myself. So although that healing helped a lot, and I've got healing from lots of others as well, I think I just like, I gradually needed these validations from my grandmother's telling me, like confirming that, yes, your story is true. Like my grandfather also coming up and confirming my story. My paternal grandfather came and he said, I ruled the family with a heavy hand, just like your father did. And that was good for me because now, since my story is not validated by my family, it's good that at least in this reading, it was completely validated. So I could kind of have confidence in what I knew was true and then continue writing and continue healing. And in that, helping others heal themselves, because that is, of course, why I share and why I write. It's to inspire others to be true to themselves.
Absolutely. And that is why this happened to you, because you needed to experience this unfortunate event in order for you to write your beautiful words, to be heard by others that have similar experiences and they're suffering much the same as you had. And so there's something beautiful about, you know, when you said your loved ones came through, that beautiful validation, but also acknowledgement of how you felt and their love for you in that moment and their support when you felt abandoned by everybody else in your life is so beautiful and transforming, really. And it also gives me insight as a healer as to what we need to address in your healing. So Akashic Record readings are amazing for exposing those conscious things, right, that we may not necessarily be aware of, but that we need to clear and heal from. And so with your healing, I can just imagine, I'm sure, you know, your heart, I see it as like, you know, the old fashioned castles. And I will see like these walls, and they're so high because of course you had to do that to protect yourself. And once we knock those down and expose that beautiful heart, and I go in and pour in beautiful healing in the actual, the lining of the heart itself. My ceremony is in the heart when I'm doing the heart chakra. And I will begin to pour in pure liquid gold along the lining of the walls. And I see all the cuts and the scrapes and the tears from the trauma and the pain and the grief and the suffering from this lifetime, but past lifetimes, ancestral lifetimes, we hold all of it. And then I begin to transmute and clear the heart center. Open up that beautiful soul of yours. I call it the window to the soul. Well, then, you know, your spirit animals will start to walk through for you and show themselves. And then of course I open and expand that beautiful heart and connect it once again to source so that it's completely open. And when that happens for us, our lives change in that heaviness that we, you know, feel in time when we are moving through trauma dissipates. And I don't know if this was true for you, but when you begin to, you know, reflect on the triggers, when you reflect on the event itself, we can feel it from more of an objective, higher self perspective than like being in there in the moment, if that makes sense. Was that the case for you?
Yes. And I had kind of worked through it in different ways before our like healing and Akashic reading sessions, for instance, through hypnotherapy and other healing sessions and also trauma therapy. So I had worked through it, and I had worked a lot with meditation and forgiveness exercises, but it was still there because of different reasons. But I think that what happened quite soon after is that, so often when I meditate, I get this pose, just like poems that write themselves, more or less. And then I got this wonderful poem. It's difficult to translate it directly in English because it comes in Norwegian, but it was about self-love. And it was like, I choose to be loved, velvetish green, like this wonderful green, like I choose to be loved. In Norwegian, it's frelsmik, so it means like softly. I choose to be loved softly. And something about, something about really, really opening up my heart for my own love. And then I could really feel my heart expanding as I wrote the poem. And I could feel like something a change in my body. And from that moment, I knew that I might have, you know, to divorce, my husband. I was then, and I'm still in my second marriage, but it was really difficult still. Right. So I might have to divorce, but if I do, it's okay. Because I completely like open my up for love and to surrender, and then accepting whatever needs to happen in order for me to choose to be loved. And choosing love was more important than keeping the marriage together, or, you know, saving my children from a second divorce, or like not having to move and everything. So I just like faced all the fears that previously had held me in the marriage, and I just went through them, and I just knew that I can move even if I don't have a steady income, even if, you know, despite everything, I just knew that now I can do it because I'm open to love myself. And then everything changed.
Mm-hmm.
After choosing self-love.
Yeah. Because you chose you for the first time in your life, right? Mm-hmm. And when we do that, the universe answers. You know, you were knowing that you were being held and you will be okay no matter what happens. Because the only way through is to move through it, right? Mm-hmm. And become who you're meant to become on the other side of this journey of yours. Mm-hmm. And you're always divinely held in those moments. I want people to know that.
Yeah, that's for the listeners as well.
Yeah,
of course.
When you choose that decision, to have that courage, for you to be in that place of surrender, is very, very powerful. And in that moment, you knew you didn't need to know the how or the why. You just knew that you needed to choose yourself, to love yourself enough to allow yourself to explore where this is going for you.
Melissa,
go ahead.
No, I just wanted to know, would you like to share, do you have like a similar experience that you would like to share about like choosing self-love, or this experience of having to go through some pain and then having this special moment where suddenly things changed for you somehow?
I did go through a similar, obviously not as traumatic as yours, but I mean, I did a healing journey in, you know, I too was in a situation where my light was snuffed. I didn't feel worthy. I didn't love myself. And yet at the core of my center, that's all I wanted was to be loved. And I looked externally in my world for that love.
To be validated,
To be validated, to be seen, to be heard, to be nurtured.
And applauded.
And because I just felt void of it. I felt empty. I felt alone. I felt, so many emotions. And then I began to understand that everything I needed was within me. That I just needed to love myself first and foremost. And that despite what, our ancestors learned and my mother learned, in that women are told that you must put everybody first in your life in order to be a good person, right? But that's not necessarily the case, because if you do that, there's nothing left. And you're not, how good are you to your children if you're unfulfilled and unhappy and empty? And so I began to fill back up my cup, my spiritual vessel. I began to choose me more often. I created this space for myself to truly heal and understand myself. And for the first time in my life, I was okay. I was okay just loving myself. And I didn't need that validation and affirmation from other people, right? And so in that moment, I understood, I kind of went full circle and went, okay. So that desire that I had to be loved and nurtured unconditionally was really coming from a place of I needed to do that for me. I needed myself to love myself unconditionally, to not persecute me for my mistakes or judge critically or speak to myself critically. I was, you know, I'm a perfectionist, and I think you are too. And so as a perfectionist, you know, we can be very critical of ourselves, and nothing ever measures up, and you can always do better and be better. Right. And then I got to a place where, you know what, I'm enough. And it was a beautiful space to be in, because there's a lot of beauty and healing that can come from that.
Yeah. Thank you. Yeah. Thank you so much for sharing. Thank you really so much for sharing. And I think this, it is so amazing to discover that we have everything we need inside of us. And that is particularly interesting for me coming from academia, because, you know, I was a university professor, and I always thought that knowledge is in the books, right? And now I understand, yes, we have some knowledge in the books, but wisdom, as I experience it now, wisdom is something that we find inside of ourselves when we have learned what we're supposed to learn through our experiences. I don't know what you think about this, and what kind of insights have you got from yourself when you went inside of you? We talked about it earlier a bit, that you remember how to do Akashic readings. You suddenly remembered past lifetimes. But even specific knowledge issues, isn't it? Like, sometimes you can get very concrete advice about even mundane things, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. And I, you know, we also begin to understand the things that we were drawn to learn about. They're not random. It's always for a reason. And for myself, for example, I was a personal trainer before I surrendered to this work that I'm doing now.
Yeah.
And I learned that that wasn't random. It's not a coincidence that I had this quest to learn about the anatomy and physiology of the human body.
Yes.
Because I needed to know it to heal.
Exactly.
And to do medical healing. How else am I going to be able to go into a body part or an organ and heal it if I don't understand it?
Yeah.
And so it was mind blowing for me. I was like, oh, there is always a divine plan. I just didn't know it. Right. And so I want your listeners to understand that, you know, even the simplest things that we do in life, nothing is a coincidence. Everything is connected, and everything has a reason. And for you, your quest and desire, I see you as a sponge, you know, and you just want to soak up as much as you possibly can in those books of yours, right? But the thing is that you needed to learn all of that in order to be able to channel and write the things that you're writing today and help others in the way that you do, right? I mean, think about your students and the way you're inspiring them to find their own voice through the pen. Right? It's cathartic. The healing that you're doing for them, teaching them how to expose whatever's in their heart, all of those things that they have been left unsaid, all of those things that they're afraid to speak, just allowing themselves to open and write. Right?
Hey, perhaps you want to say a few more words about that, the importance of either speaking or writing down our experience in order to really conceptualize or understand our own experiences, because I think that is, if we don't put words on it, it's very often very vague, isn't it?
Right. Yeah. I mean, there's certainly, we can talk about automatic writing, right? Where essentially you're channeling. With automatic writing, you can channel your guides, you can channel, you know, ascended masters, you can channel angels, but you can also channel your higher self. And, you know, it's pretty easy to do. You just center and go inward and spend a few moments paying attention to your breath. You know, I don't like to use the word meditate, but meditate into that space, and then just pick up your pen and begin to write. And people will be amazed at what comes out. Oftentimes, you know, you're automatically writing when you can't keep up with the pen. You're just, you know, you're just frantically writing, trying to keep up with what's coming through. And then when you go to read it back, it's spoken in a way that you don't speak. It's words are used that you don't normally use. And it's a very loving, divine energy that will come through for you. And I do that often when I channel, just so that it's almost like a check-in of like, okay, what messages does Melissa need to hear today? Right. And I allow my higher self to speak to me. And it's just, it's the most beautiful experience. You know, have you tried it?
Yeah, I do that actually every morning. Very often I open myself up in my meditation and I say to my higher self that, so if you want me to write a text today, like if I need a text, please come forward. And nearly every day I write a text, and nearly every day also I post it on Instagram, and they're really personal. So part of my ego can't really understand why I even write these texts and why I share it. Yeah. But I just do it because they come forward and I can feel the energy in them, and it's healing for me and automatically for others. So, and sometimes it's very vulnerable. And I can say that for a while, my husband didn't like it at all. And that was one of the reasons why we had these challenges in our relationship, because he wanted to control what I wrote. Right. But then after our crisis, and when we actually had a pause, like a break in our relationship, and came back together, and now he takes responsibility for himself and I take responsibility for myself, and he accepts that I have my, you know, life project. I'm here for a reason, and I have to be, or I need to be, I want to be, I don't know, like I want to follow my purpose. I want to do what feels right for me, and what feels right for me is to write these radically open texts about my feelings and experiences. And most people would say that, but that is private. But in my mind, private, what is even that? I just observe myself as an actor in my life, and I act and observe at the same time, and I find it really interesting. And I write in quite a humorous way, and sometimes it's a bit of poems, and sometimes it's some old words and stuff, you know, it's lots of things coming through. And I know it's my higher self, and I know that probably I've been a poet myself in a previous lifetime, and probably it's an angel sometimes coming through, so it's different energies coming through. It's amazing for me and for others. So I just share.
Yeah, it's raw and it's vulnerable and it's refreshing because it's, let's face it, it's really our belief systems as a society, as a collective, as a whole, that has this understanding that no, you can't share those types of thoughts or opinions.
Or feelings or experiences. It's about motherhood and couplehood and sexuality and all those themes, because for me, you know,
but then, you know, I also see it as it's so beautifully connecting and open and authentic and real and true that only good can come from it. Instead of placing this mask in front of ourselves, living with this facade of this version of ourselves that we've created that we don't even connect to, let alone or others meant to, right? And I feel like if more of us lived in the way in which you're living right now, in speaking authentically and openly, there would be so many more opportunities for healing and deep rooted connection and understanding.
And you know, opportunities for growth and new friends and connections. And it's true that it might be a bit frightening having to, you know, close some doors and putting some relationships either to an end or at least having a break. Like because some relations, they can't be as intensive at the moment. But at the same time, when one door is closed, it's true that other doors are opening always. Yes. You know?
And perhaps it's that old version of you that no longer aligns with those individuals. You're no longer on the same frequency level. You're no longer on the same timeline as them, because you are stepping onto the new version of you, higher timeline possibilities for yourself. And those people aren't on them. They're not, their role is done. That's how I see it. And it's really just actually keeping those individuals in your life, you're doing a disservice to both of you, because when a contract ends and we remain in a relationship, whatever that relationship is, it doesn't even have to be, you know, a love relationship. It could be a coworker, it could be a friend, it could be a family member. But if you remain in a relationship that is expired, okay, the universe is going to do its very best to make you uncomfortable in it so that you awaken, the light bulb goes off and you go, oh, this doesn't feel aligned for me anymore. I'm not comfortable with this.
Can I ask you, have you had to break up with friends, former friends or family members? And how was that for you, like having to move on?
Yeah, I have had, you know, certainly as you can probably appreciate, when I was going through this journey and stepping into my more spiritual psychic self, there was many people I let go of in my life because they no longer aligned with me. And I didn't want to explain myself to them. I didn't want to have to justify who I am, or even, I didn't even care, which was really refreshing, actually. Really, their opinions, I just did not care. And I had no energy to expend on the frequencies. I don't want this to sound like a hierarchy or a judgment, but that old version of me no longer existed. And so I really didn't relate to them anymore.
Yeah, because, and the others, because they expected the former you to exist.
Yes. Yeah.
And she's they didn't know your body looks the same, so they thought that you are as you were before, but it's not true.
Right. And when you get into this type of frequency, I want to attract like frequencies. I want people in my life that get me. I mean, this type of work is exhausting. As much as it's fulfilling, it is exhausting in that I expend a lot of energy in my work. I hold space for people all day long. And so it's really important for me to have people in my life that hold space for me, that refuel me, you know? So that's that beautiful flow of give and take. I became very aware of the fact that my friendships, you know, up until this point were very much one-sided, and that I was always the one filling up their cup. I was always their therapist. I was always the healer. And I didn't get a lot back. And that's why I felt empty. Right?
I totally recognize that. I've had to break up also, even with friends, and that's how it is. But I've got a lot of new ones. What fuels you now, Melissa? What fuels you now? Just like, I guess spending time in nature.
Absolutely. Nature is my favorite thing to do. You know, just connecting to, you know, Mother Earth is so powerful. And, you know, what fills me up is that I'm an avid cyclist, so I will go out on my road bike, and I love to just go off. I call it my ride to nowhere. You know, I'll ride for hours at a time. Just it's like a form of meditation for me. And then I will also submerge myself. I call it forest bathing. Going and I have this big fat bike, so I ride both winter, fall, summer, all year round in the forest. And I just allow that beautiful energy to activate me, renew me, recharge me. So that's where I'm usually found. If I'm not with my family, you know, that is where I am, is in the forest riding.
Yeah. And I know that you even, that's also your kind of meditation, because very often people think that if you're supposed to meditate, you have to sit still, etc. But I know that you argue for the opportunity also for really being totally present while being active and while moving your body, for instance, out in nature. But it's a difference, I think, then between like cycling and listening to music and being all in your head and being there and expanding and even blending with nature, isn't it?
It is. And, you know, it's funny because it's coming to me that I remember when I would be on a long road bike. This was years ago. And I would see my grandfathers. Both my grandfathers were on either side of me, either side of my bike. And I saw them literally protecting me from the cars, you know, because I'm on the highway.
Yes.
I'm exposed. I mean, there is potential to be hit, to, you know, to be injured. Mm-hmm. And I just saw them through my mind's eye. I knew they were there, and I would have conversations with them. Mm. I would, you know, chat and, you know, how, like, talk and see how they're doing. And it was amazing. So you don't always have to be in that, you know, what we think of as that meditative seated position, trying to fight with the loops of your thoughts that are going through your head. You can go for a run. You can go for a walk. It doesn't have to be, you know, intense activity, but there is such a thing in beauty in active meditation. And that's my preferred way. Yeah.
I see that time is going fast. So perhaps that we have, I would like for you to share a little bit about light language and how the light language came to you. I know that we don't have a lot of time, but I can tell you that I've had several guests already in the podcast who have talked light language. So some of the listeners are quite familiar with it, but perhaps there might be some listeners right now that haven't heard of light language, and it's up to you if you want to speak it or just speak about it, but it's very, very healing, at least. And I know that you speak such a wonderful light language, so it would be good to just mention it a little bit before we conclude.
I would love to speak a little bit for you before we leave. So light language, for those of your listeners that aren't familiar, the best way to explain it is it's a cosmic yet ancient language. It is the language of the soul. We have all spoken it. We've all heard it. The language itself holds light code activations. And so in each of us are these beautiful light codes within our beautiful light body. And when we hear the light language, the codes themselves that are coming through activate our DNA and begin to promote healing and beautiful, beautiful transformations within us. It's a very powerful healing modality. And so that's why I use it in my energy healing sessions, because it is so powerful. You don't have to understand it. Okay. It does sound like people are speaking in tongue when you hear it, but there's a part of your soul that resonates with it and that remembers it. And so I have a lot of people that when they hear it for the first time will say, oh my gosh, that sounds familiar. Right. And it's because it is that they have heard it before and their soul's just remembering. Yeah. It's really beautiful. So, you know, I could, of course, I'd be happy to speak a little bit for you.
Wonderful. Thank you so much.
Of course, I'm going to go into the heart center. I feel led to do that for you and your listeners. So if they could just take a moment and close their eyes for me and focus on their heart center. Kiaya ko nanaya lea ko shikiriaya nananaya shuko duki te kariaya kiaya ko takayaya. Ananae dia ya ya no da koshiki dia le ako yoshuku kyu 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 akia ya kia ya nananae de kochu koshiki nanani dia la ya o ya 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 nakaida shuku ya ya nanaida shi la ya ni au cho ya nananae ya nahia dia ya ida mama nani ya po yo ko dia nani ya ko dia ka ekia kia kia kyu 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 at nani ya ni ane ano yo te o ko ala ya di re ya di ra re ya ko ai re ra re ya di ya da ya na i ra i ra i ya o shuko ri ya yo 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 ana ya i da i ya i da i ya o yo ko あででででででででででででででででででででででででででででででででででででででででででででででででででででででででででででででででででででででででででででででででででででででででででででででででででででででででででででででででででででででででででででででででででででででででででででででででででででででででででででででででででででででででででででででででででででででででででででででででででででででででででででででででででででででででででででででででででででででででででででででででででででででででででででででででででででででででででででででででででででででででででででででででででででででででででででででででででででででででででででででででででででででででででででででででででででででででででででででででででででででででででででででででででででででででででででででででででででででででででででででででででででででででででででででででででででででででででででででででででででででででででででででででででででででででででででででででででででででででででででででででででででででででででででででででででででででででででででででででででででででででででででででででででででででででででででででででででででででででででででででででででででででででででででででででででででででででででででででででででででででででででででででででででででででででででででででででででででででででででででででででででででででででででででででででででででででででででででででででででででででででででででででででででででででででででででででででででででででででででででででででででででででででででででででででででででででででででででででででででででででででででででで
That was so strong, like waves and waves and waves, like going through my body. Thank you so much.
Wonderful.
And I'm sure it is for the audience as well, that it's, I can tell you that is actually the first time I heard you, Melissa. That was a podcast episode coming up on Spotify, like automatically, like sometimes that happens, like the guys want me to listen to something. And that was last summer. And that's the first time I ever listened to Light Language. And when I heard you speak it, I just froze. Like I was out walking and I just, my body just stopped. And I was like kind of starting to not really tremble, but it felt like I was trembling. And I just knew that, okay, when I'm ready, I'm going to meet this woman. So thank you so much.
You're so welcome. It was such an honor to be here with you. And I'm sending you so much love on your journey.
Yeah, and I send that to you as well and to the listeners. And for the listeners who would like now to catch up with you and would like to know more about your services, do you have any classes or something coming up soon? And what is, where can they find you?
Absolutely. I feel led to also mention, if the listeners are wanting more of my light language, I do have light language meditations on my website, which is melissasparrow.com. I also am in the middle of my advanced energy healing online course. I am going to be doing an Akashic record reading course in the near future. So they can come and follow me on Instagram at Melissa Sparrow Healing. And I always, you know, give updates and launch information on my course there. So then they'll be sure to hear about it if they're interested.
Wonderful. Thank you so much. I will put the links in the show notes. And with that, I'd like to thank you again so much for this conversation. Thank you so much for sharing. And thank you so much for shedding light also on my story. And I think that was a good way also of showing what an Akashic record reading might be and what kind of knowledge and insights one might get through that kind of reading. And also, as you said, that having an Akashic record reading is a wonderful way, a wonderful place to start, because then you know where to go forward with the healing. Because then we can see where the wounds are that need to be healed right now.
Exactly.
So with that,
Thank you.
Thank you, Melissa. Thank you so much. And to the listeners, have a very nice day. Bye-bye.